It's nice to see you. Everybody said, did you have a nice holiday? I was actually preaching at a conference in Cape Town. I preached with Adrian on Sunday. And they're doing really well. They've got an opportunity to buy a building. I said, you know what the nice thing is? Our building's paid for, Adrian. So God bless you. Just want to wish you all the best. And everything we've been through in the last 2 years, I just want to say, hold tight to God, my mate. And have you got change for $100? Because I'd love to bless you. You know, we had a conference here, and one of those Mozambican pastors, Almindo, walked into the conference, and one of our doctors was at the back of the tent and said to Clint, this man is sick. This man from Mozambique is sick. And he said, what do you mean? He said, he's sick. He needs to be treated. And they literally took him from the start of that conference into hospital. He had a very swollen prostate. And through that doctor literally just looking at him, because he went to a Christian conference, he was healed, he was operated on, he was restored to full health. He's got very deformed feet, and Clinton, the guys managed to make him a pair of shoes, and even this time took him another pair of shoes. So sometimes it's as simple as just going to a conference where a doctor will be. Amazing, eh? So we've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. For some of you, it's probably been the first time you've learnt of the Holy Spirit. In my kind of desire, I would have loved to see more manifestations of the Spirit, but God is working in wonderful and amazing ways. And this picture signifies to me what God has done. This is the picture. But just keep it up, and I think, what do those two men have in common? And to be able to get those two men through the waters of baptism either needs a very convincing pastor or the power of God.
Amen.
And to actually get, I looked at, I don't know why we seem to attract orthopedic surgeons, but I saw from Mark, then Tolach, then Ben, I saw these orthopedic surgeons walk in, then I saw these electricians walk in, then I saw some unemployed people walk in. I thought, only God can do that. Only God can take such a diverse group of people and put them together. We started singing Afrikaans songs, then we started singing Zulu songs, and you think, we're just trying to keep you Afrikaans guys happy. So every 6 weeks we've said we'll throw a song in. Okay, can you imagine, friends, can you imagine 10 years ago, if God said to you, you're going to go to a church with some guys from Durban, it's like, skandalik. Dit zal nooit gebeur nie. My dad's financial guru is in Pretoria, and he looked after my dad's affairs for many years, and then when I came here, I met him, and if I'd walked into his office 8-10 years ago when I arrived, and I said, you know, you and I are going to be in church together, I think he would have said, let's just keep to the finances, but he's sitting here this morning. Because the Spirit of God can do whatever He likes. And the beauty is when the angels look down and they see a diversity of people, that is the move of the Spirit. It's the move of the Spirit. And so today, friends, it's a scripture we've preached before. I want to look at Acts chapter 10. But Acts chapter 10 is simply this. Two different men coming into the same place. That's what Acts chapter 10 is. There's a military man called Cornelius, and there's a fisherman called Peter. And God puts them together because He has to work with them. And God's working on all of us. We're never, ever a completed work. Amen? And if you're sitting here and you think, so far, no more. Wrong place, bro. Wrong place. Because God is constantly dealing with us, constantly Amen. Sorting us, constantly fashioning us, constantly teaching us more. The problem, friends, is our culture is remarkably strong, eh? It doesn't matter what culture it is. You can grow up in a religious culture where they've got smoking handbags when they go down the altar. Some of you grew up in those churches with smoking handbags. And some of you grew up in those places where they blew the ram's horn. Guys, Jesus fulfills all of that. You don't need smoking handbags. You don't need a ram's horn. You don't even have to go to Israel. Jesus fulfilled all of that. You have to understand that. Otherwise, we start interacting and enacting all these feasts and all these traditions where we're completely free of them. And we have these sort of religious expectations. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything. And so we are free. And he sends his Holy Spirit to give us ever-increasing revelation of our freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is?
Freedom.
Say freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom from everything. From your stupid teacher who told you you're an idiot, to the upbringing that you had, to the religious systems that you grew up in, to the sin that you have committed. Completely and utterly free. Amen? And the more we preach the Spirit, the more we'll understand our freedom. And the more we understand our freedom, we can actually be ourselves. We're not scared of people. We don't have to worry what people think about us. Our insecurities get dealt with. And we actually lie in bed at night with peace in our hearts. Amen? So let's read just one little verse. Acts chapter 10, if you can just put the scripture up, please. While Peter was still speaking these words, say these words. Just keep them up there. Say these words. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Friends, do you know that you can have conversations that attract God and you've got conversations that repel God? While you are sitting gossiping around the table about somebody else, that is not attractive to God. He just doesn't come into the room. While you are sitting in conversations that please God, talking about other people, honoring them, forgiving people, speaking about people's futures, it attracts God. While he was speaking these words, say these words. So we have to learn to have conversations that attract God. And you can say every single dinner party that you have, you can ask yourself the question, was the conversation around this table attractive to God or repulsive to God? The conversation you have in your car with your wife, was it attractive to God or was it repulsive to God? Because there's certain words that we speak where the Holy Spirit has got no option but just to rush in. Amen? So let's read from, you know, Cornelius. God calls Cornelius to go and call Peter. Peter's got some issues like you and me. Peter grew up in a religious background. He's trying to understand freedom. He's staying in Simon the Tanner's house. A tanner was a guy that took the skins of cows and worked them for leather products. And so you actually weren't allowed to work with the skins of cows. That was like ceremonially unclean. But Peter's kind of understanding a little bit of freedom. You can actually go and have supper with somebody from a different nationality, somebody from a different tribe, somebody from a different culture. So he's sort of stepping into it, but not fully. And some of us do that sometimes. We come into the church and we step into a little bit of God, but not fully. Amen? And so people sometimes say, why did we do this? The message is exactly the same. I was preaching in the church this week where the church is so old and so boring. And I think we'll never attract young people while we have a stage that is just, they say, well, but this is offensive to old people. Well, get over your offense. Get over your offense and let God challenge you and say, actually, it's not about you. It's about the next generation of people. So you're here as a stability, as an influencer, as a provider of finances, and because some of you old guys are rich. No, I'm being serious. So now must I keep the rich guys happy? No, you old guys put the money in so that we can present the gospel to the young guys who will carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. Amen? Surely. It's got to be. Friends, you talk about the Holy Spirit. People say to me, hey, you've been around. I've been watching my son playing rugby. I met a guy on Saturday next to the rugby field in Natal at a boarding school, friends. I met him inside the rugby field. And about 2 weeks ago, he sent me an SMS and said, hey, Rory, please can I come and see you? My wife is not well. So I SMS back, how did you get my number? He said, I got it off the Hilton website. So I said, okay, cool. So if you want my number, send your kid to Hilton. So he comes to see me. We're busy talking about his wife. I said, hey, I don't know anything about the finances of this church. Nothing. I don't know who gives what. I don't know who gave what to the building fund. But for some reason, the accountant sent me one deposit of R1 million. She just said, somebody put R1 million. So we get talking. I said, what's your surname? He told me his surname. I said, this is a guy I met on the side of a rugby field on a Saturday. On Monday, put R1 million into our bank account. I said, did you put R1 million in our bank account? He said, yes. I said, why? He said, because God told me to. He's not a member of this church. He's not part of this church. He's part of a church in Pretoria called. I won't tell you because the pastor will knock on my door and say, it's my money. She can give it back, Malani. Friends, we just have to walk. And the Holy Spirit will do what he has to do. But when you get offended and when you get out of your comfort zone, God's busy with you. We're not here to make you comfortable. We're here to fulfill the commission of Christ. And there are things that I don't like, or the preference, or louder, or softer, or more this, or more that. It's just, no, what is Jesus doing? How does the Holy Spirit put to those? A man who's just come out of jail, and a man who's a headmaster of a school, one with tattoos, and one with a long shirt, and one with a muscular shirt, and one with another shirt. One shop said Woolies, and the other one shop said Woolies Ladies Store. You can see the difference. Okay, relax. About noon the following day, verse 9, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheep being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, leguvans, giraffes, all sorts of, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. If you read the Old Testament, it says hoopoes. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Eat a hippo, eat a giraffe, eat a leguvan. It's like, and Pretoria eat ons vleis. Kudu, surely not, Lord, Peter replied, I have never. Say that with me. Surely not, Lord. Say that. Surely not, Lord. I have never. Say, I have never. I have never lifted my hands in church. Welcome. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. I have never tithed. I have never eaten in a black man's house. I have never invited an Afrikaner for dinner. I have never, never belongs to Jesus. And it doesn't matter what your upbringing in. It doesn't matter what your preference is. It doesn't matter what your culture is. There will be a surely not in your life until you give God control of every single aspect of your life. And immediately some of you are fighting and thinking, I'm going to thunder that Englishman. But God is talking to you. Before he can deal with Cornelius, before he can deal with the Gentile, before he can deal with a man who doesn't know God, he's got to deal with a man who does know God. And he's got to say to him, you have got things in your life that are going to prevent the gospel from touching other people's lives. Friends, it's offensive. It is offensive. But we have got formations inside of our life that are unhelpful for the advancement of the gospel. Attitudes. Amen? Yes. Say, I have never.
I have never.
The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times. I mean, this is a guy who spent 3 years with Jesus, eh? 3 years. I've been here 10 years. And some folks haven't understood a lot. And we're just going to keep going. So I think I've got another 5 years so we can try and understand this while I try and understand myself. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent But Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I've sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, they arrived at Caesarea. It's a 50-kilometer journey. And we spoke the last time on the scripture, 50 kilometers on a dirt road. Ek het bietjie grys pad geloop, want die Here is besig met my. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said, I'm only a man myself. Friends, the greatest way that we will see the move of God coming upon the world is when men get off their platforms. You should not call a pastor, pastor. I don't care what church you're in. By calling a pastor, pastor, you're putting him into a position that will stop the flow of God. Every single person is a man just like me. And in this place, you should not be respected because you're a doctor or an advocate or a lawyer or a financial advisor or because you're clever or because you're rich or because you're well qualified or because you went to a private school. That is not what gives you your significance. And only, friends, when we understand that every single person in this room is on level ground, will we open up to the full move of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. You can tell me in your heart, well, I'm not superior in any way. Friends, there's no one in the church that is superior, and there's no one in the church that is inferior. And you should not be intimidated by anybody. You should never, ever be intimidated by anybody, ever. I was having lunch with a friend of mine in Cape Town. They grew up under my ministry. I was at their wedding. They came onto our eldership. And he said to me, he said, when his wife used to talk to me, she was so scared of me that she closed her eyes. You know what I did? I started to weep. And I said, I'm so sorry you did that. She said, Rory, you're so big and you're so loud and you're so strong and you're so convicted that I was intimidated. I said, well, I just want to tell you, I pray you're never intimidated by me again. Because we'll never see the full move of the Holy Spirit until, friends, we find complete level ground with everybody. We sing Afrikaans songs, we sing English songs, we sing Zulu songs. We sit next to a Zulu, we sit next to an electrician, we sit next to someone who's unemployed, we sit next to a professor of law. It doesn't matter. It's level ground. And if there's any superiority in your heart or any inferiority in your heart, God has to balance it. Amen. So we can administer the move of God. So who's superior? The headmaster? No, they're equal. They're equal in God. Talking with them, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him. But God has shown me. Say, God has shown me. There has to be revelation inside of our lives, friends, to live the life that God. He said, you know, I'm not allowed to come into your house. I'm not allowed to come into your house. But God has shown me. We have to let God show us. Otherwise, the Moycliffe guys are going to invite you and say, come and look at my new horse. And then the Boardwalk guys will invite you back and say, hey, we've just done our trout dam. Come catch some forella. A little bit of forella fishing. Why don't you come to Woodhill, we'll play golf. You check my horse, I'll come fishing and we play golf. Friends, let's be honest. I'm telling you, friends, I'm telling you, we invite people that we want to impress. It's wonderful. But there's an Afrikaans saying that says, soort soek soort. It is not biblical. Soort soek soort is not biblical. It is human. It is cultural. It is alive, but it's not biblical. Why don't you invite some people in the church today that will never be able to invite you back?
Wow, beautiful.
Amen? Then we'll start to see the move of the Spirit that we've never seen before. We don't have to impress with 7-course meals and the latest dish and the latest design and the latest cutlery. What is on the seat is far more important than what's on the table. Has to be, guys. Otherwise, we're just going to build another rich, middle-class, suburban church that meets in Pretoria East. That's really cool. But God has shown me. Close your eyes. Say, God, show me. God, show me. God, show me. Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure and clean. Never. Surely not, Lord. You know what prejudice is? Keep your eyes closed. You know what prejudice is? Prejudice is prejudged. It means you have judged a man before you've met him. You've judged them on culture. You've judged them on race. You don't know where he grew up. You don't know what his history is. You don't know where his parents are. You don't know anything, but you've prejudged him. And before God even gets to Cornelius, he's dealing with the head of the church. Peter was the head of the church at that time. The Pope gets his lineage from Peter, the rock, the head of the church. Not right, but he was the head of the church. But God wanted to build the church, but he had to get deep into Peter's heart. Sexism, racism, classism. Brands. Cars. We just have to be so careful that there's nothing inside of my heart that is blocking fellowship with any other person who professes Christ or doesn't profess Christ. Holy Spirit, we want you to move in this church. We want you to move powerfully. We want you to have access into the very depths of our heart. We want to see salvation. We want to see deliverance. We want to see generosity unlocked. We want to see Mozambique changed and Portugal. As my friend that I grew up with in Durban, who planted a church in Cape Town, is preaching at Jeff and Jane's church in Portugal right now. We want to see your move. We want to see your power. We want to see your grace. We want to see your flow. We want to see your favor. But Lord God, search my heart, Psalm 139 says, and see if there's any offensive way inside of me, and lead me in the life everlasting. Lead me in the life everlasting. Is there something in my heart, Lord God, that would possibly block the move of your Spirit? Show me, Lord God. Show me. show me my way. Show me the activity you desire through my life, Lord God, the people that you want me to touch. Show me, Lord God, how conversation gets set around my table. And as Eskom load shedding hits us again, Lord God, in my area from 4 to 8 and again from 2 to 6, and everything inside of me wants to scream and shout at Eskom and the stupidity of our nation and the government, Lord God, I've got an opportunity to speak a language that attracts your attention. I can speak a language of reconciliation. I can speak a language of opportunity. I can start to feel what most of our nation feel like, not having electricity. I can actually plunge to the depths of nothingness. I can actually start to sympathize, Lord God. Or I can just chuck my toys out the cot and join the rest of society that moans about our government and the ANC and Ramaphosa and Elton Yankees. Just another story, Lord God. I want to tell you, friends, sitting in this auditorium right now, and on this week, on the 16th of September, marked the loss of those three beautiful little girls in New Zealand. 16th. And sitting in this auditorium is that little girl's, those little girls' dad. And 6 weeks ago, the mum of those children started to listen to our series on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is busy touching her in New Zealand. And Lauren, if you're listening to this, we are thinking of you right now in South Africa. And sitting in this auditorium is her brother and sister-in-law. And in the same room is the dad of those daughters and the uncle and aunt from the mum's side. And listening to this podcast is the mum, Lauren, sitting in New Zealand. Holy Spirit, you can do whatever you like, wherever you like, however you like, whenever you like, through whoever you like. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from our past, freedom from our guilt, freedom from our shame, freedom from our culture, freedom from our upbringing, freedom from our disqualifications, freedom, complete and utter freedom. Rua, let's come and dance here. Come, Nicola. Come dance. Come. Kevin. Put the mic. Beautiful. Keep dancing. Just tell us in 5 sentences what the Lord has done with you.
How's it, my brother? Yes, guys, God's been great in my life. As Raul said, about 6 years ago, 5 years ago, my wife passed away suddenly, and it was a nightmare. I've got two beautiful little kids that are sitting over there. Well, they're quite big now. My boy was 8, and my daughter was 15. I had to take a place that I didn't know nothing about. I took it up, and this church helped me in an unbelievable way. God touched me in a way that He never touched me before. 5 years, 6 years prior to that, I was shot 5 times. That didn't even get me the way this did. When I got to this church and I met these beautiful people, I could call them brother, I could call them family, I could call him dad at times, and obviously calm me down a lot. But God's just been amazing in my life. I've met a beautiful woman. I got married last week. It's just, yeah, thanks. And I'm now, the past is done. I'm now looking forward to such an amazing future. And this church is going to journey with me all the way. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Amen. Stay here. Stay here. We were out for dinner one night with my family. And his son was being a real brat at the restaurant on one of those electric skateboards and bumping the guests. And his wife had just passed away and he was really raw. And then one of the guests at the restaurant said to the lati, "Can you stop that, please?" And he went and told his dad. His dad wasn't happy. I was sitting in the corner. So his dad there went and told the restaurant he wasn't happy. So I tapped him on his shoulder like this, and he looked at me and he said, "Pastor, you're the last oak I want to see right now." But I had the privilege of marrying him. I had the privilege of doing his wedding. I had the privilege of watching him allow God into his heart. You know what, friends? We're not perfect, and not one of us is perfect. This picture of Peter and Cornelius is about two men that are seeking God. And little bit by little bit, as God reveals himself to them, they become friends. I would do anything for this man. I absolutely love him. I would do absolutely anything for him, as I would do for you, and I trust you for me, and you for the person next to you, and for the person in front of you, and the person who's battling with their sexuality behind you, and the one who's battling for finances next to you. Amen.